And I've come to think that one of the things that really helps us in the area of prayer is if we really know who God is. Who are we praying to? What kind of God are we praying to? And in the scripture we're going to look at today, Psalm 139, one of the most favorite psalms, and really is a prayer of David. In this psalm, David mostly talks about who God is and what God does for him, that we're praying to a God who knows us and cares for us. And then a little later in the psalm, he asks some requests, but most of it is just trying to understand who God is. I really believe that if we really understand who God is, it will change the way we pray and how often we pray. Praying to the God who knows us. Psalm 139, open your Bibles to that psalm if you would. And let's stand as we read God's word this morning. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before me. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that today you'll speak to us. Your Holy Spirit is the teacher through your word. And we want to open up our hearts and minds to receive the message that you have for us on this day. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I heard a person say one time after they read a fantastic scripture like that one, Psalm 139, it's all downhill from here. Because you can't do any better than what was just said, right? What was read. It's good stuff. Wonderful stuff. Psalm 139. But since we're here, let's talk about it a little bit. Praying to the God who knows us. We pray to the Lord who knows us completely. Who knows us completely. When David says, you have searched me, that word search means to inspect carefully to find out the real character of a person. God is saying, God, you've inspected me carefully. You know who I really am. You know me. God knows us like no one else. This intimate knowledge that God knows us doesn't frighten David. In fact, he says, it's so wonderful, I don't understand it. I think it should encourage us to pray when we know that God knows us like no one else. He even knows us better than we know ourselves. That's why we are not good ones to search our own heart. We need to ask God to search our heart. He knows us better than we even know ourselves. As we go through this psalm, it's amazing what God knows. He knows everything we do. David says, you know when I sit and when I rise. Common, ordinary events. You know when I get up, you know when I sit down. It's not that God is counting how many times we get up and we sit down, like some people count their steps, you know, throughout the day. It's just that God sees everything. He knows everything we do. Whether you like it or not, we are under surveillance. heavenly surveillance. God watches us. He sees everything and he knows everything that we do. Oftentimes when we make a mistake or we do something embarrassing, we try to hide. We hope that no one sees us. You know, what's the first thing you do when you trip and fall down? You look around to see who saw you do that, right? Hoping no one sees us. God always sees us. He knows everything we do. You can't escape God. There's people in the Bible who have tried. The story of Jonah in the Old Testament, he tried to escape God, ran away. You can't escape God. He knows everything we do. He also knows everything we think, all that we think. Boy, David says, you perceive my thoughts from afar. That one is very interesting, isn't it? You know, sometimes when you know someone for a long time, we think that we can read their minds. I mean, my wife and I have been married almost 42 years, and we play this game sometimes where we think we know what somebody's thinking, each other's thinking, and oftentimes we're wrong. You know, even though we've been married that long, we still aren't able to read each other's minds. The only person that really knows what's in our mind is God. He knows what we think. He knows our thoughts. He knows what you're thinking right now. Kind of a weird thought, isn't it? You know, some of you are thinking, when is this sermon going to be done? He knows that. Some of you are thinking, I wonder what kind of snacks they have in the fellowship hall after church, or where are we going to go for lunch? He knows all those things that you were thinking. He even knows why we think those things. I mean, he knows everything. Jesus, when he was on earth in Mark 2, knew what people were thinking. It says immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? He knew what there was in their minds. God knows what's in our minds. He also knows everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. He says, you discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Many of you have this little thing, you know, these cell phones. I have one here, and I have a little app on here called Find My Friends. Do any of you have that on your phone? I need to get all you guys' apps on my thing so I can. And I just pushed on our daughter's Kara to see where she is, and she's here in church. I just found you on my phone right here because it helps you locate people that you're connected with. And I think it'd be helpful if I could get all of your ad connections. I could keep track of you a little better. Just kidding. I don't want to. God doesn't need that kind of GPS technology. It's kind of cool for us. God doesn't need that. He knows everywhere we go, right? He knows everywhere we go. Can't get away from him. I can remember years ago, we were on a mission trip in Puerto Maldonado, Peru. And we were gathered out in front of the building that we were working on construction. And the guy had asked me to do a little devotion that morning for the work crew. And so we were out in front of the house. And I opened up to Psalm 139, the small little Bible I had, and began to read this beautiful psalm that God knows everywhere we go. He knew we were in Puerto Maldonado. He knew we were homesick. He knew we were tired and hot and sweaty. He knew all that stuff. And it began to rain, just a slight mist. And in my Bible today that I had with me, I still see the wrinkled pages in my Bible that were caused from that rain that fell. God knows everywhere we go. We are never out of sight. The prophet Jeremiah, speaking for God, said, can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and earth, declares the Lord. So he knows everywhere we go. He knows everything we say. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You know, when you call, if you have an emergency and you call 911, you know they record those. Your call is recorded. In a sense, you could say God has recorded everything. He knows everything we've said. For some of you, I'm not going to say names. It's quite a long list of things that you've said because you talk a lot. Some people don't talk as much, and so it's a shorter list. But he knows everything we've said. And since God knows our thoughts, he knows why we said those things. Sometimes when we say things, they don't come out right. at least for me, they don't always come out the way I want them to be. They're not always received the way I hope they would be received because they don't know my thoughts or motives behind them. God knows our thoughts and motives behind what we say. So it's amazing. God knows everything about us. And I hope that's encouraging to you and not scary to you. Because when David hears all this, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. That you know all about me, you know where I go, you know what I say, you know what I think. It's amazing. When we pray, we're going to a God who knows everything about us, more than we even know about ourselves. So one of the things I think it tells us is when you pray, be honest. You ever tried to fool God? It doesn't work, does it? He knows you. Be honest when you pray. Open up your heart and tell him what's on your heart. He knows everything. Next thing that David talks about here is that we pray to the Lord who is ever present, omnipresent. He's always there. He's always with us. David said, you hem me in behind and before. You hem me in. What David is saying that God surrounds us. He surrounds us constantly. David knew, he was a warrior. He knew what it was like to be surrounded by the enemy armies. But the reason David didn't fear is because he knew that the one that surrounded him was greater than the one that surrounded the army. He was surrounded by the Lord constantly. He surrounds us constantly. There's a little movie that came out recently, the sequel to Incredibles, you know, one of the classic. You guys know the Incredibles, right? If you have kids, you know the Incredibles. In that movie, there's a girl. All the kids have superpowers, of course. One of the girls has a power to make a force field around her or her family to protect them. And that's pretty cool to see that. I mean, it's not true, but it's really cool. The Lord is with us always, and he surrounds us. He's kind of like a force field, not quite, but he surrounds us. His presence is with us. He's with us. He surrounds us. Not only does he surround us, it says in Matthew 20, 28, Jesus said these words, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He is with us always. The Lord also holds us steady always. David said, you have laid your hand on me. David experienced the hand of the Lord upon him to steady him, to give him stability. It isn't the hand that pushes us away or a hand of punishment. This is a hand to steady us. Things can happen in our lives, whether it be illness or trouble or relationship problems or we're starting college or, you know, whatever it is, it can kind of rock us a little bit. But God will put his hand on us to steady us, to hold us steady as we go through things. The Lord is with us everywhere. David says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. David is realizing there's no place where God will not be. God's presence is with us. You can get on a spaceship, and if it was possible, and fly for millions of light years away and end up way far out in the galaxy, and God would be there. There's no place that he is not there. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. We got away last weekend, went up to our family cabin up in the hills just to get away for a while. And one of the things that we don't have up there is cell phone coverage, which is wonderful. And still, unless you want to call somebody. And I needed to talk to our kids before they were coming up. And if I drive right down the road from our cabin, about a mile, there's a little turnoff where all of a sudden I'm watching my phone. No cell phone coverage, no cell service. All of a sudden, cell service, boom. You can make a call right there. Pretty cool. But with God, we don't have that kind of problem. We're never in an area where there's no God coverage. He's with us anywhere and everywhere we go. So when we pray, this is important, when we pray, we're not trying to get God's attention. He's already there. We're acknowledging that he's there in prayer. The Lord is also our faithful guide. He says, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. In the Bible, the right hand is always symbolic of God's power. He'll hold us fast. He'll guide us. Sometimes our prayers are about guidance. Lord, help me figure out what I need to do. And I just want to make sure you understand, God will be a faithful guide to you. There was a young man that I had opportunity a few years ago to enter into a mentoring relationship with. And he was struggling with, what am I supposed to do? He was a committed young Christian man, but he wanted to know, what am I supposed to do? And we had a lot of conversations and met over a period of months. And I just kept trying to encourage him, just trust God, stay close to God, listen to him. He'll show you. He's a faithful guide. He'll show you. Hang in there. God doesn't give us a 20-page outline of what our life's going to be like ahead of time. He just tells us the next step. Stay close to him and follow him. This man is a very successful businessman today. You would know his name if I shared it, but I didn't get permission from him, so I'm not going to share the name. But God led him to what he needed to do. God is our faithful guide. And God also will protect us. David writes about the darkness. The darkness, those dark times when we're feeling discouraged or fearful or oppressed or worried, and God will come and bring us the light. He said to you, the light, darkness is his light. Light conquers darkness. God will conquer the darkness. We don't have to be afraid like we sang a little bit ago. The Lord will protect us. He is with us. So when we pray to a God who is with us, omnipresent. We also pray to the Lord who will care for us. He cares for us. 1 Peter, it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God is not a detached observer. He is with us. He knows us. He cares for us. He loves us like crazy. The Lord created us. The Lord created us. We pray to the one who created us, the Creator God, who made everything that exists and made us. That's who we pray to. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. David also says here, after he says you created us, he says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you realize this morning that you're a miracle? You're a miracle. It's a miracle that you're alive sitting here today in those chairs. The human body is so amazingly complex and intricate and balanced. It is amazing that any of us are alive at this moment. It's your miracles. I can't share all this stuff because I don't have time. Let me just share a little bit. It's amazing when you think about it. Consider that every second, more than 100,000 chemical reactions take place in your brain. Your brain has 10 billion nerve cells to record what you see and hear. The information comes through your brain through the miracle of the eye, which has 100 million receptor cells in each eye. Your retina has 4 other layers of nerve cells. Altogether, the system makes the equivalent of 10 billion calculations a second before an image even gets to the optic nerve. Once it reaches your brain, the cerebral cortex has more than a dozen separate vision centers in which to process it. Your tear ducts supply a bacteria-fighting fluid to protect your eyes from infection. The tears that fight irritants differ from the tears of sadness, which contain 24% more proteins. That's not to mention the miracle of the ear and how it translates sound waves into meaningful speech and sounds, or of touch, taste, and smells. Part of your brain regulates voluntary matters, such as muscle coordination and thought processes. Other parts of your brain control involuntary processes, such as digestion, glandular secretions, the rate at which your heart beats. How did it accidentally happen that your body could speed up your heart rate to proper speed to meet increased oxygen demand when you exercise and slow it down when the need is met? 1 square inch of your skin has about 625 sweat glands, 19 feet of blood vessels, and 19,000 sensory cells. Working in coordination with your brain, it maintains your body at a steady 98.6 degrees under all weather conditions. And I could go on and on and on. You are a miracle. It's amazing. We are wonderfully made by God. He created us. Not only has he created us, he keeps us alive. We're dependent on him. He even knew us before we were born. Have you ever met somebody and say, oh yeah, you know, I've recently, I, you know, I don't remember who it was, but someone was came that knew me when I was a little kid and said, oh, yeah, I know you. I just changed your diapers, you know. That really blesses you when someone says that. But basically what they're saying, I've known you since you were born, and that's great. God knew us before we were born. Before we were born. To the prophet Jeremiah, God said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Since God has known us before we are even born, he knows us perfectly now. We can trust him. You can tell him anything when we pray. The Lord has prepared our days for us. He says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I'll confess to you that commentators disagree on what that verse really means. I like the simplest interpretation possible. It seems to me that it's saying that God has a plan for us. He's given us life. He's given us days on this earth. Days to serve him, to know him. And it's up to us. He gives us the days. It's up to us what we do with them. But we need to be thankful. Thankful that we're alive. That we're living these days that God has given us. The Lord is always thinking of us. This is mind-boggling to me. David says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Have you ever tried counting sand? I tried it once. I was on a beach. I scooped up a hand. And I thought, I'm just going to spend a few minutes. I gave it up in about 2 minutes. It's impossible. Because in your one hand, you might have thousands of grains of sand. And I wasn't going to spend all day doing that. What David is trying to say here when he says that is that God is thinking of us all the time. You might say, well, how is that possible? There's a lot of people in this world, but God is omnipresent. He can be everywhere at once, and he can think about everyone at once. We can't do that. He can. He's thinking of us. When we pray, we come to the Creator God of the universe, who holds all things together by his power, and he's thinking of us. Isn't that just blows me away to think about that. Almighty God is thinking of you. Thinking of you. How do you feel when someone, maybe you like someone or you'd like to have a friendship with someone and you think about them all the time and then you find out they're not thinking about you at all? It kind of hurts, right? We've all been through that kind of stuff. And I wonder sometimes what God feels when he's thinking about us all the time and we don't take time to talk to him. We don't take time to be with him. Don't take time to pray. I have to tell you, as I was preparing this last night, God just got me right here. In a new way, I understood how much God thinks about us, thinks about me, how much he wants to have that relationship with us, for us to pray and to listen to him and spend time with him. He's always thinking about us. Isn't that amazing that the God of all creation is thinking about you? It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. The last part of this prayer of David, he talks about God being the judge. No person can rightly judge their heart until first they look at God. And then, when you get a clear picture of who God is, you can ask God to help you know who we are. In the end of this psalm, David talks about, ask the Lord, will judge his enemies. David has a little bit of a bad attitude here. I mean, he's mad. He's angry. The enemies of God, he's mad at them. And he doesn't really share the heart of God in the sense that God is patient, God is merciful. God wants these enemies to repent and he'll give them time. David wants them taken out now. Now, Lord, take them out. You see that throughout the Psalms, really, many times when God says, yeah, you know, the nuclear bomb could be dropped over there right now, Lord. Do it. But he does know the Lord will judge his enemies in time. But to David's credit, he doesn't just stay there. He looks at his own heart. And we see that the Lord will search our hearts. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. The heart is the core of who we are. And what David really is wanting here, I believe, is he's wanting to live the holy life that God has called us to live. Search my heart. Search my heart, Lord. Now, God already knows David's heart, right? So it's not new information to God. David wants to know what God's going to find. Search my heart. Tell me. Tell me what's in there. Sometimes we fool ourselves and we need God to search our heart and reveal what's in deep down inside of my heart. The Lord will test our thoughts. He says, test me and know my anxious thought. Let the light of God come in and shine in our thoughts to reveal anxious thoughts. If you have an anxious thought, it means a place where you're not trusting, right? Reveal that to us, Lord. We're good at fooling others. We're good at even fooling ourselves sometimes. But if we pray, Lord, test my thoughts, and we listen, he'll show us. The Lord will reveal sin in us. See if there's any offensive way in me, he prays, and that would mean sin. The God who knows us better than we know ourselves knows if there's sin in us. And David is asking for the revealing work of God in his life. Lord, show me if there's anything in my life that isn't right. If there's sin in me, show me. Because sometimes we're not always good at revealing it ourselves. We rationalize it away and we say, that's just the way I am. Or everybody does that. Or that's not that bad. And God can check and examine our heart and say, hey, this is sin. When there is sin in our lives, we need to confess it, which means we agree with God that it's sin, and we repent of it, we turn away from it, and receive forgiveness from God. God is faithful and reveal it if we'll ask and listen. And the Lord will lead us in eternal life. He ends this prayer by saying, lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting. Now, David didn't have the clear picture. He's looking ahead. We are looking backwards to the cross, where we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life that David prayed about comes through a relationship we have with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Eternal life. It's a relationship we can have with God right now that lasts forever. The Lord will faithfully lead us. So I don't know about you. When you pray, can you remember that God knows everything about you? Knows everything about you. He's with you. He's with you. He's present. He's here right here with us this morning in this room. And he'll care for you. He'll care for you. And we can pray, Lord, search our hearts. Reveal to us anything that's not right that we need to get right with you. And he'll lead us in that way of everlasting life. Eternal life. And it's all because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven. We're going to spend some time this morning celebrating communion as we close our service. In a moment, you'll be invited to come forward if you want to partake of communion, and communion is for all believers. You'll take the bread, which represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dip it in the juice, which represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and partake of it, remembering what Christ has done for you. As we come and do this, if you want to spend time at prayer at the altar, you can do that. It could be that some of you need to spend some time in prayer before you take communion because you need to get something right in your life. Could be there's some people here who have never accepted Christ as your Savior. You can do that today. His arms are wide open, welcoming you. I'm going to ask those who are going to help serve if they would come. We're going to sing a song of